Praise the Lord. I shared this during the time of our prayer time concerning Pastor Lamb, but it's one of the devotionals from Extreme Devotions this past week. Well, in fact, it's for today, the one for today, October 9th. It's the favorite quote of Pastor Samuel Lamb, who was a Chinese house church pastor who has spent 20 years in prison for his faith. His favorite quote was, "More persecution, more growing. More persecution, more growing." And we see that really throughout the world with all of the places that are experiencing the greatest persecutions and, you know, the terrorist attacks and things like this, that the church really grows by leaps and bounds. And I don't mean just in numbers. I mean in terms of spirituality. Okay? Praise God. So, and it works not only for persecution, but it works kind of the same way when there's difficulties, hardships and so forth. Difficulties in our lives and so forth. Those times, I think, are being used by God to draw us closer and closer to Him. Amen? I don't think God's ever going to be completely satisfied with how close we are to Him. He's always wanting us to grow in that. And it's not a matter of, you know, you got to get saved one day and then you don't, then you're not saved the next day or you're saved the next. No, that's not what I'm talking about. It's not a matter of condemnation. It's a matter of loving God so much that you want to get closer and closer and closer to Him. So when you see things in your life that are contrary to His way of thinking and to the Scriptures and so forth, you get rid of it. You hate the sin. You know, used to be a T-shirt years ago. It said, "Hate sin, love God." In great big letters. You couldn't miss it. Hate sin, love God. Kind of says it right there in just those four words. Okay? That's what God is calling us to. And that's when there's going to be more growth, more spiritual growth. Amen? That's what he says. Persecution grows, or hardship grows, difficulties grow, things happen in our lives, tragedies even, and people grow more in the midst of those kind of things. If everything was just, you know, everybody kind of cruised through life, God would get left out a lot. Out of a lot of people's lives, I think God draws people to Himself when there are the problems, and especially with persecutions. So, praise the Lord. I will remind you right now, so I can go ahead and set this aside and have it for later. But the advanced conference from the Voice of the Martyrs coming up this Saturday. It's from 9 to 4, Victory Christian Center, Lowellville, Ohio, and there was a conference a few years ago that was at the same place, so at least Jim and Matt know where it is. Okay, but Jim says it's really easy to find. But anyway, if you'd like, we could meet it up at our place. It's kind of like on the way, and then out 422 and away we go. So anyway, we can deal with that. A time? What do you think, Jim? You said it would not take no more than an hour.
Yeah, no more.
Would we like to maybe leave about 7:30?
You maybe 5.
Huh?
You could probably leave at 5 to get there. You could probably leave at 5.
Now why? Why would you wait till 5 o'clock? Yeah. There is registration from 8 to 9. Well, what I mean by registration is you pick up things and you can get the...
So if you want to be there at 8, leave at 7. If you want to be there at 8:30, leave at 7:30. It's up to you.
Okay. How about we leave at 7:30? Jason's back there going, yeah. Okay, that sounds good. Thanks, Jim. All right, but like I said, you know, let me know if you'd like to meet at our place there off of 422. the Worthington Slate Lick Road, and then we'll kind of carpool. We may not all have to, you know, drive. So, okay? All right. I want you to turn to number 68. Number 68, please. We praise thee, O God, our Redeemer. Let's pray. Amen. Lord, I do pray, dear God, that by the power of your Spirit, Lord, you will truly, dear God, be upon this people today. I do pray, dear God, that you would just draw us and show us, Lord, how much you love us today. How much you love us. You are not sitting up on some cloud, dear God, just looking for ways to mess us up, to get us to stumble, get us to trip. No, that's Satan that wants to do that to us, dear God. We've got a God who likes to test us and wants to test us. And praise God, I believe that you do that throughout all of life. I want to thank you, dear God, Lord, that you don't tempt. The Bible says that clearly. You do not tempt. Satan tempts. You test. And there's a big difference. And I want to thank you, Lord, dear God, that you had your eye upon Paul throughout his entire ministry, dear God. And you just drew him, Lord, drew him. Oh, you had tests all along the way for him, praise God. But that's what drew him even more. That's what brought him into a closer relationship, dear God, are the tests. And so I just pray, dear God, that you just touch our hearts, Lord, as we gather before your holy presence here in this place today. And we do desire, dear God, above all things, Lord, to become fireball Christians. Fireball Christians on fire for Jesus Christ. Glory be to God. And Lord, your word even says there will be no small stir. No small stir. Praise the name of Jesus. It's going to be huge. It's going to be big if we will be fireballs for Jesus Christ. Another place it talks about firebrands. And I just want to thank you, Lord, that it's about fire. It's about fire in our hearts. Fire in our souls. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the name of Jesus. Wasn't it Jeremiah that said that there was fire in his bones? On fire for Jesus Christ. And that's what you're calling us to. Lord, I would imagine, dear God, that not one person in this place would try to say or try to profess that they've come the whole way. That we have enough fire from you and we are fine the way we are. I would hope that there wouldn't be any person here in this place that would think along those lines. Praise the name of Jesus. You're always going to want us to draw closer. You're always going to want us, dear God, to come away from sin. Come away from self-life. Come away from everything, dear God, that is contrary to you. And Lord, you'll be the one to help us in that. You'll be the one to do it, really, in our hearts and in our lives. And we want to truly exalt you and lift you up this day. Praising you, dear God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to ask you to turn to 1 Samuel, okay? Chapter 13. 1 Samuel 13. Now, you know this is the section of Scripture that has to do with Saul and his not going all the way with the Lord and going his own way and all of that kind of thing. But it's like it goes on for a number of chapters and parts of chapters. We're not going to be looking at all of that. But I would ask you to go ahead and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 13. And for right now, we'll just deal with verses 8 through 14. This is 1 Samuel chapter 13, verses 8 through 14. Praise God.
And he tarried 7 days, according to the set time that Saul had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, Bring hither a burnt offering to me, and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made the end of offering, the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And Samuel said, What hast thou done? And Saul said, Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash, therefore said I, The Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made the supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee.
Fireball Christianity. Yeah, that's the name of the message today. Fireball Christianity. No small stir. No small stir. Please pray with me. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for your calling upon our hearts and lives to hear from you today. We know, dear God, you've got a purpose and you've got a plan in it, or you wouldn't have called for it in the first place. We pray, dear God, that by the power, Lord, of your Spirit, you will indeed, dear God, touch all of our hearts. Help each one, dear God, that sits in front of this pulpit, Lord, to hear from your heart and to be changed by that word. But also at the same time, dear God, help the one that stands behind the pulpit. Help me, dear God, to truly present this thing that you have given me all week long, dear God. And now, Lord, to present it for a purpose today, too. In the power of your Holy Spirit, dear God, we pray, Lord, that this will truly have the effect that you intended to. You said, Lord, that your word does not return back void. And I pray, dear God, that you would truly have your way in this place today. And reach out, dear God, and touch many, many hearts with this message. It can happen in a lot of different ways, Lord. It can happen by our changed hearts reaching out and touching others. It can happen by way of CD. It can happen by way of a mailed message, dear God, that goes forth and speaks forth your truth. So many different ways that you have given us. Even this little small church, dear God, in western Pennsylvania, you have given us, dear God, a purpose, and you have a plan for us as well, Lord. So I pray, dear God, truly draw us, Lord, into an ever-increasing fireball Christianity, dear God. Hallelujah. Christianity, dear God, that causes no small stir. Glory be to God. I want to thank you and praise your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Fireball Christianity. No small stir. Praise God. Diane Neal Matthews, in her book On This Day, shares an incredible but true story. And you might remember it yourself, since I said it was true. It was 14 years ago today. 14 years ago today, in 1992, eyewitnesses saw a large fireball streak over the eastern skies of the United States. It first appeared over West Virginia. Several spectators at a Peekskill, New York football game actually got it on video, and you might remember seeing that on the news. I know I do. I remember that. The fireball had a greenish color and a flight time that really didn't last any more than, say, 40 seconds. So what in the world was it? What in the world was it? As the fireball exploded into many pieces, a chunk of it hit a parked car belonging to Michelle Knapp, who lived just outside of Peekskill. She heard the crash and ran out only to find a warm 27-pound meteorite under her 1980 Chevy Malibu. It almost sounds like a storyline out of an old episode of The Twilight Zone, doesn't it? The rock had cut through the lid of her trunk, sliced a path a few inches away from the gas tank, down to the ground, down to the level of the parking lot itself. I guess there were two bright sides to this whole story. First of all, the car didn't itself become another fireball, you know, with the gas tank being so close. But secondly, it turns out she later sold the car for tens of thousands of dollars. A real conversation starter, I'll bet. Can't you just see somebody, you know, fixing it up? Well, not really fixing it up, kind of leaving it the way it was and displaying it, either in the backyard or maybe in the living room. I don't know. A real conversation starter. Tens of thousands of dollars. Reminds me of the ad that I just put in the paper trying to sell my 10-year-old minivan, and it was supposed to be $3,900, and she put $39,000. $39,000. But that's nothing. There was a motorcycle in there that was probably only $3,600, and it got advertised for $360,000. More than a half a million dollars. Almost a half a million dollars. Incredible. Incredible. Well, let's not forget the spiritual point, though. There are some today who don't believe that a Christian on fire for Jesus can fall like a blazing meteorite into serious sin. But the Bible is absolutely replete with examples and warnings of this. You know, a lot of people just don't want to believe that can happen. Well, listen, if you come to the point in your spiritual life where you no longer are seeking the Lord, no longer wanting to get close to Him, then it most certainly can happen. God makes that very clear in His Word. Well, David, for example, was called a man after God's own heart, and yet he fell into adultery and murder. His son Solomon began his reign bent on following God's will and word, but he allowed his heart to be led astray. The fact is, the true Christian shoots across the sky of life, not away from Jesus, but towards Jesus. Praise God, we delight in coming to know Him more and more and obeying His commands. But sin is always going to be there to try to pull us out of that orbit, out of that pathway, and into another. Matthews, the woman that wrote this book I was speaking of a little bit earlier, she put it this way. She said, Jesus described His relationship with believers as a vine and branches. In order to grow and flourish, we have to stay close to Him. More than close, we need to stay connected to Him and receive our life from Him. If we're not careful to stay attached to our Lord, we may lose His power in our lives, and then we will be headed for crash and burn. The fact is, people, fireballs can do that, you know. Fireballs can do that. Now, that's not to say everyone that's on fire for the Lord is going to crash and burn. No, absolutely not. I think very few end up doing it in the end. The fact is, God can keep His people, but that's if they want to be kept. If they no longer want to be close to the Lord, He's not going to force you to. Let's be honest about it. There are all kinds of warnings in Scripture about that. And if it weren't possible to happen, why would there be warnings? Why would there be examples of these things in the Scriptures? The fact is, it is possible. Take King Saul, for example. The people had wanted a king from among themselves, like the other nations had. And God told them through the prophet Samuel that it would be a very, very bad idea, for he himself, God himself, was supposed to be their king. When they absolutely insisted, God let them have their way, though it was the wrong way. See how things can get all messed up? God does give people free will. You use your free will against God, and that's the mess you end up with. 1 Samuel chapter 9 tells us that the son of Kish of the tribe of Benjamin, and then take a look at this, it says in verse 2, okay, this is 1 Samuel 9, verse 2, okay, whose name was Saul, a choice young man, and a goodly, I like the way the King James puts that, and a goodly, and there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. Today we would simply say that he was head and shoulders above the rest. Humble, quiet, at least at first, truly desiring to serve the Lord. But as time wore on, his fire started to smolder by falling away from obedience. At one particular time, and I think you'll remember this well, he was to wait for Samuel to come and offer the sacrifice right before the great battle. And when the prophet delayed, Saul's patience sizzled out, and he took on the role of prophet. He had also been told to destroy everything and everyone of which he thought better. He thought he could, it made much more sense to do it another way. To do it another way. Take a look at 1 Samuel chapter 13. Okay? 1 Samuel chapter 13. Now this has already been read. But it says, "And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him, and that he might salute him, that he might bless him," in other words. "And Samuel said, 'What hast thou done?' And Saul said, 'Well, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed,'" in other words, you were late, "'that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Mishmash. Therefore, said I, the Philistines will come now, come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and I offered a burnt offering.'" I forced myself. I forced myself. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. "And Samuel said to Saul, 'Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee, and now would the Lord have established the kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue, and the Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, namely David. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee.'" Now, Saul's sin here would have immense ramifications. Immense. Saul had decided to spare some of the best animals, and he also spared the opposing king, Agag. When Samuel discovered this, Samuel personally killed the Ammonite king. Centuries later, in the days of Esther, we read this, and I want you to take a look at this. Turn to Esther, please. Esther chapter 3. All right? It's a more of an involved story. I'm not going to get into the whole thing, but I think you remember the gist of it. It says, "After these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman." Now, Haman was the bad guy. "Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agite." He was of the people of Agag. Okay? Haman was. And it says that the king advanced Haman and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. Now Haman, a descendant of Agag, being bitter, absolutely bitter with the Jews concerning his ancestor's death, almost was successful in obliterating the Jews in his day. You see that? That's why he had an attitude. I mean, from day one he had an attitude against the Jews. He was looking to get rid of them. Why? Because his own ancestor, Agag, was killed by Samuel the prophet of the one true God. Saul wasn't going to kill him. Saul was going to go ahead and disobey God. But Samuel stepped up with a sword and really gave it to Agag. And he really had an attitude towards the Jews and was looking to get rid of them. Do you see how being a fireball for God always involves obedience? Always, Saul's petering out would lead to a demonic possession and a very violent death at the hands of the enemy. Many examples of this can be found throughout the New Testament as well. But what about in the book of Acts? That's what we've been looking at the last several weeks, right? What about in the book of Acts, the history of the early church? And what a picture that would give us in this last days church. Well, go ahead and turn, if you would, please, to Yes, Acts chapter 19. I'll wait a second until you all get there. Okay, Acts chapter 19. As you can see, we're cruising through the book of Acts, and by the time we get to November, I'd say we're going to be pretty well done with this. We're not looking at every story, but only as the Lord directs. Okay, so this is Acts chapter 19. Look at verses 11 and 12. Let's see, Acts chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought into the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. God was greatly working miracles out, using this Paul as a fireball for the faith. Praise God. In the subsequent verses in that chapter, we are told more detail of all that was happening because of this fireball for the Lord. And as you know, this Paul, who was formerly known as Saul, now obviously that's not the same person that we were just talking about, King Saul from the Old Testament, but you understand the connection. You know, this is Paul, not Saul. Okay, so this guy's going to be a fireball, but he's not going to fizzle out. Praise God. And then we come to this. Look at verse 20. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. In the Greek, this prevailed speaks of a matter of having strength, ability, and power. In fact, it's a synonym. Its synonym in the Greek is dunamis. That's the Greek word, and it refers to miracle power. Yes, the fire of God prevailed, but that was going to bring persecution, as we all know. A satanic trial attempting to squelch the fire. And as God allows it to happen, God is not trying to squelch the fire. He's not trying to stamp it out, but he's trying to test it. See how far it will go. Amen? Look at verse 23. And the same time, there arose no small stir about that way. That way is, of course, another way of describing Christianity. It was called the way. Just like Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. This stirring, by definition, is a commotion. Now this is right out of the definition. Okay, it's a commotion and a confusion that is without order, resulting from excitement, tumult, or contention, and that is exactly what happened. Amen. You see, what happened is Demetrius, a silversmith, had been making silver shrines for the goddess Diana. And that had brought him and his co-workers no small gain. But with the power of God in the neighborhood, namely through Paul and his associates, the demonic would indeed fall. So it's the demonic that fizzles out. It's the demonic that falls to the ground, crashes and burns. Praise God. And of course, Satan doesn't like that at all. So then comes the persecution. A riot actually develops in the town of Ephesus. Turn to verse 32. Yeah, verse 32. I'm still in Acts 19. Look at verse 32. Some therefore cried one thing, some another, for the assembly was confused, and the more part knew not wherefore they were even come together. I've seen that. I've been there when this has happened, that there's been such a lie spread around that nobody knows what's going on. Nobody knows the truth of the thing. Some think they know, but you know, nobody really knows. It's a mess. And it does happen a lot. Actually, for in the confusion, even more confusion develops. Confusion cannot lead to order. It leads to further confusion until finally things are out of control, or seemingly out of control, and crash and burn. Praise God. Many today don't really want the truth of the gospel, for its call to obedience is something they just don't want to handle. They just don't want to do. They'd rather be in control of their own lives. Many would rather be in control of their own lives and their own situations than let God have his way. But little do they know, or in some cases sometimes even care, that their own ways are just going to lead to bitterness. It's just going to lead to vengeful thinking and destructive behavior. Happens all the time. And these are exactly the outcomes that Satan is trying to produce. He's actually trying to get it to go that way, even in the church. If he can just get our eyes off of Jesus and onto ourselves, he can even tempt the fireballs of God to shoot across the skies and crash. As you know, coming up first Sunday in November is the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. And throughout this month of October, we're going to be focused on some of the persecution, as we just heard from the book of Acts, but there's persecution going on today, too. There's a story, and it's a true story, a very true story, of a family who refused to be duped by such a temptation from Satan. They were inspired by the 9/11 attacks here in this country, and they moved to Afghanistan in 2003 to give people Jesus. Hannah Lee and her husband, Werner Grunwald, had discussed the danger, but their God was in control. I mean, that's the way they saw it. Their God was in control. So if he called them there, he would lead the way. They thought of raising their two children, Jean-Pierre, who was then 5, and Rode, the girl, who was 3 at the time, and how dangerous it was for them, too, in that Islamic nation. Yet God's call was just as real as the dangers that they would face, and they knew obedience to him mattered more than their fears. They knew they were called to be fireballs for God, and with the empowering of the Holy Spirit, nothing could extinguish their witness, not even death. Not even death. The voice of the martyrs in a recent newsletter that they sent out tells their story. As Hannah Lee headed home through very thick traffic, the streets were just choked with traffic in Kabul on November 29th, 2014. Now this is 2 years ago. I mean, this is almost to the day. 2 years ago, her driver received a phone call as they're going along. She could tell from his expression on his face that there was something terribly wrong. Finally, he told her that there had been an attack, a terrorist attack, on the building where their family lived and worked. And as they approached the street, the police and armored vehicles blocked the way, forcing her to get out and run the rest of the way. A crowd had gathered, but no one would tell her what was going on. Werner, the father, and 2 Afghan men tried to escape the Taliban attackers by going up the stairs. Well, about halfway up, however, they encountered their attackers at a side door that led to the back of the building. So they turned to run back downstairs. "Lord, please help us," Werner said, before being shot twice in the leg and once in the abdomen. He lost consciousness and he bled to death within minutes. But his God was in control. The bodies of Jean-Pierre, 17 years old now, well, this is 2 years ago now, and Rode, 15, were found in their upstairs apartment in the boys' room. Both had been shot to death with an AK-47, but their God was in control. Later that evening, 2 co-workers tearfully broke the news to Hanley that her whole family had been killed. She sat still, unable to comprehend the news, but her God was in control. She said later that she was never angry at God for this thing. Now, like I say, this was 2 years ago. In these 2 years, she never got angry at God. Her only regret is that she was not with them to help them face the bullets. Fireballs for Jesus. Their witness caused no small stir. A great testimony has gone out from this particular episode of persecution. They knew Christ was worthy they said. They willingly put their lives on the line and, as it turned out, paid the ultimate price. All of them did. The three family members who were actually killed, but the other one who now has to live without them. All of them did. The question still remains, will we do the same? Will we do the same? Will we be fireball Christians? And what comes out of our lives, will it be no small stir? Amen? Praise the name of Jesus. Glory be to God. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, that you have called us into such a life. Lord, it's almost unthinkable to somehow wrap our minds around what not only has happened to this family, but what happens to families day in and day out in these countries, really all over the world, lots of different countries. It's happening all the time. Someone once said, Lord, that there is more persecution going on in these last 100 years than has gone on in all of Christianity. Going all the way back through the Reformation, where 1 million people were burned at the stake by the church. Going all the way back to the early Christians and the Colosseum and the arenas and the hungry lions and all of that. More in the last several years than in all of time for Christianity. That's how much it's increased. And I just pray, dear God, that you'd put it on our hearts, Lord, to stand with them. To stand with them, to pray for them, to care about them, to love them. I want to thank you, Lord, that your mercy and grace does shine through these things. Lord, we pray this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah.